Our sermon text this morning is Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. In the Pew Bible, that can be found on page 916. We're now more than a quarter of the way through the book of Acts, and we come to a major turning point in the book of Acts, seeing the gospel begin to spread from Jerusalem, as Jesus promised. So, we'll read these verses together and then consider them. And as we read and as you hear, remember that this is the word of the Lord. Acts chapter 8, beginning in the middle of verse 1. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds, with one accord, paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. For unclean spirits, crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. The word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask for God's help as we consider it together. Lord, please help us to understand your word, to draw strength from it, and to learn it so that we may share it with others as we see your people doing here. Do this work in us by your word and spirit. Give us faith in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Have you ever mowed your lawn when it has a few dandelions that have turned white with their fluffy, puffy-looking seed heads? Do you think cutting them down is going to get rid of those dandelions? At first glance, right after mowing, it will look like you did, but if you come back a few weeks later, you will find that the dandelions simply spread because their seeds were scattered by your mower. Scattering them, even when it looked like you were getting rid of them, scattering them, it only will lead to more growth. And we see something similar here in these verses that we just read about when the church faces persecution. Persecution doesn't stop the spread of the good news about Jesus, but it instead contributes to its spread here. And that's the point God wants us to see. Persecution doesn't stop the word from spreading, but spreads it. And this is a major launching point in the book of Acts. These verses introduce the next major section of the book. We move from a focus on the ministry of the apostles in Jerusalem and see the message about Jesus spread to Judea and beyond, to the Samaritans and even the Gentiles, just like Jesus promised. Remembering back to the beginning of Acts when Jesus said to the apostles before his ascension that they would be witnesses to him. We read earlier in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And those words, they introduce the storyline and structure of the entire book. It's the story of how the gospel spreads to those places. And these verses are the first pivot point where the narrative turns from Jerusalem to Judea and even Samaria as the next step in the story of how the good news about Jesus spreads to the end of the earth. And somewhat surprisingly, we see here that persecution contributes to that spread. Certainly so far, we've seen that opposition and persecution cannot stop the spread of the message about Jesus. But here we see very clearly that it actually contributes to the spread. Luke tells us in verse 1, "And there arose on that day, the day when Stephen was executed, a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles." Persecution is what scatters the church and spreads the gospel to the regions of Judea and Samaria. But especially considering the conclusion that God wants us to see, that persecution doesn't stop the spread of the word, but instead spreads it, we do need to at least pause before we get there to say that persecution isn't good. God brings good from it. He works all things for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, but that doesn't make bad things good. Persecution is bad. That's highlighted in these first three verses. It's not good that the church that Jesus prayed would be one that had everything in common, that cared for one another and their needs so well. It's not good that they are separated and scattered by a great persecution. And what happened to Stephen was wrong and wicked, and it was right for them to lament what happened. We see in verse 2, what we see there, it's a God-honoring response to persecution and wrongdoing when Luke tells us that devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. They grieve and lament what happened. And it's important that we grieve and lament too when we face trials and difficulties and when we see and experience what is wrong with this world and see wickedness firsthand, like the church does here. We need to make sure that we don't confuse the fact that just because God brings good from something that's bad, that does not make it good. If we aren't careful, we will inadvertently turn into those who call evil good. Persecution is not good. It's evil, even though God brings good from it. It's not good that Saul was ravaging the church, entering house to house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Think about that. He was dragging men and women out of their homes to prison, separating parents from their children without any compassion at all, convinced, in fact, that what he was doing was right. Talk about hard-heartedness. It's evil. It's wrong. And Paul will look back on it later in his life and call himself the foremost sinner because of it. Persecution isn't good. It's wrong. And we need to learn to grieve and lament what's wrong with this world. And when we see wickedness like this, we must not be those who even inadvertently call evil good. But also, we must be those who do see and know that our God is a God who brings good out of evil. And we see that here in the following verses, like that white, fluffy, puffy dandelion mowed down by a lawnmower. The seed of the word is spread here by persecution. Luke tells us in verse 4, "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." And that translation may be a bit of an over-translation. It can give us the wrong impression of what's happening here and make us think only of someone standing up with a Bible and preaching a sermon. But John Stott, he helpfully points out that it does not necessarily mean more than they shared the good news of the word. They shared the good news of the word. The Puritan Bible commentator, Matthew Henry, he paints the picture very well when he says, they went evangelizing the world, preaching the word of the gospel, those of them that were preachers in their preaching and others in their common converse. Evangelism isn't just preaching the gospel in the church. The believers who were scattered shared the good news of the word. They spoke about Jesus from the word of God. And I must admit that I find this very convicting. Even as a pastor, someone who's called to preach the word, share the gospel, do the work of an evangelist, I find it hard to talk about Jesus with unbelievers. How many of us do what these believers do, speaking to unbelievers about Jesus and the good news about him from the word? And to be sure, sharing the gospel effectively with unbelievers, it requires a great deal of wisdom. We want to be respectful, not rude, when we speak about Christ and in the way that we speak to them about Christ. There's a great deal of merit to an approach that slowly builds relationships with unbelievers that give us opportunities to credibly share the gospel. But if we never find ourselves speaking about Jesus and the good news about him from God's word, at the very least, we need to ask ourselves why we don't do what these believers did. Those who were scattered went about preaching the word, speaking the good news about Jesus from the word. So let me ask you, do you know and spend time with unbelievers? Or do you live in a mostly Christian bubble? Are you scared of what people might think or say if you spoke about Jesus? Do you know the word well enough to share it with others? Are you ready or not to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you because of Jesus? The reality that we see here is that these earliest Christians did outreach with their lives, not with events. They went about preaching the word, sharing the good news, speaking about Jesus. And Luke will show us one specific example of what happened when they did that. He writes in verse 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. We were introduced to Philip earlier. He's one of the seven deacons. Later in Acts, Luke will refer to him as Philip the Evangelist when he and Paul stay with Philip in Caesarea. So Luke is personally acquainted with Philip and his ministry when he tells us in these verses and in the following verses about how Philip took the gospel to the Samaritans and to others. And what did he do? He proclaimed Christ. Philip proclaimed to them the Christ, we're told. It's the message about Jesus, who he is, and what he's done, and what that means for us who come to faith in Christ. From beginning to end, it is about Jesus. And it's also important to keep in mind when we read these verses that the Samaritans were viewed very negatively in Judaism at the time. Samaria was the capital city of the unfaithful northern kingdom of Israel back in the day when it split from Judah after the death of King Solomon. There was a rival temple set up in Samaria. There was also a great deal of idol worship in the north. And after the northern kingdom was destroyed and exiled, foreigners were brought in to live there who adopted some of the local customs and parts of their religion. But the people of Samaria, fast forward many hundreds of years forward, they were not considered Jewish by the Jews who remained in or returned to the land of Judea. And Jews and Samaritans, they didn't like each other. That's what makes the parable of the Good Samaritan, or Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, that's what makes them so surprising. And that's part of what makes what we read in verse 6 so surprising too. And the crowds, with one accord, paid attention to what was being said by Philip when they heard him and saw the signs that he did. They paid attention when he proclaimed to them the Christ in a way that surely surprised many, both Jews and Samaritans. They heard that the Messiah for the Jews was the Messiah for them too. They heard, as Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well, that the Messiah was here and that the Father is seeking those who will worship him, not in the temple at Jerusalem or in Samaria, but in spirit and in truth. And like the preaching of the apostles in Jerusalem, signs and wonders accompany the message to confirm it. Luke tells us in verse 7 that unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. We see Philip doing in Samaria what the apostles were doing in Jerusalem, speaking the good news from the word, proclaiming Christ, and doing signs and wonders. The story of Acts has moved on to the next stage because the good news about Jesus, the gospel, has spread to Samaria. Even Samaria. So there was much joy in that city. We read in summary at the end, the good news brought joy to the people. And it's all because there arose that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout Judea and Samaria, and those who were scattered went about preaching the word. God brought good from evil. And we see that at the very heart of what it means to proclaim Christ. Because the good news about Jesus from beginning to end is that our God is a God who brings good from evil. From the beginning, God responded to the evil of sin with the promise of redemption. And the greatest act of evil ever committed was the murder of Jesus. And yet God used the suffering of his Son at the hands of his persecutors to redeem every sinner who turns from their sins and embraces the message about Jesus with faith. That reality is at the heart of what it means to proclaim Christ the Messiah. The message that these believers shared, the good news from the word, is about the suffering Messiah, the one who, as Jesus said, suffered and then entered into his glory to rescue us from eternal suffering and to bring us to glory with him. That's what it means to proclaim Christ, to share Christ with others, to tell his story and how it changes our story and the story of everything, of all that is wrong with this sin-cursed world. Philip proclaimed to them the Christ, the one who was crucified and died under the curse of sin and wrath of God, but who rose from the dead in victory over sin and death, and now raised from the dead and ascended to heaven, he rules and reigns over his eternal kingdom as the Son of God in power, and he will come again to judge the world in righteousness and with justice. And it's through accepting the truth about the proclamation about Christ, responding with faith, that what is true about Christ becomes true of us as we are united to him by the unbreakable bond of the Holy Spirit in us. We're set free from our suffering, delivered, passed from death to life into glory because we are one with him. We deserved death and the wrath of God as the penalty for our sins, but he took our sins away and turned away God's anger. We are unrighteous, but his obedience is credited to those who believe so that we're declared righteous in Christ. We were dead in our sins, but we're now made alive together with Christ, and we have eternal life. Proclaiming Christ is proclaiming the good news, because who he is and what he has done, it demands a response. And everything good for us in the good news of the gospel is received in him. And what we see here is that good news is for all people, even Samaritans, even sinners like you and me. And the proclamation of Christ brought joy to Samaria, brings joy to sinners today, and it cannot be stopped. And that means even though we don't desire persecution, persecution's not good, though we lament persecution, we don't have to be afraid of it. We don't have to wonder whether God's enemies will succeed in stopping the spread of the word. They can't. If they try, the message will only continue to spread. The good news about Jesus is proclaimed to the ends of the earth. Consider the church in China after the Chinese Communist Party came to power in 1949. John Stott wrote that 637 China Inland missionaries were obliged to leave. It seemed a total disaster. Yet within 4 years, 286 of them had been redeployed in Southeast Asia and Japan, while the national Christians in China, even under severe persecution, began to multiply and now total many times the number they were when the missionaries left. Now, just 50 years and many, many persecutions later, China is on pace to have more Christians than any other country in the world by 2030. Persecution isn't good. What is happening there isn't good. But God brings good from persecution. And the proof of that is that God brought good from the sufferings of Christ, and now his people faithfully bring Christ with us wherever we go. The word is with us and dwelling in us by his Holy Spirit. And that means just like these earliest Christians, we can share the good news about Jesus from the word wherever we are and wherever we go to. And we can do that. We will do that because Christ promised to be with us, his church, wherever we go. And because he commanded us to go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And we will not be stopped. We cannot be stopped. Because as Jesus said, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so when his people are persecuted, when Christians are scattered, like the seeds of a dandelion cut down by a lawnmower, the good news about Jesus will only spread. So, let's go. Let's go share it and spread it. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you that your church, that the message of the gospel cannot be stopped, that even opposition and persecution will only spread it. We thank you that the gospel has gone to the ends of the earth and is going to the ends of the earth. We pray for all those who seek to continue to take that message to all the nations of the earth. And we pray that there will be an abundant harvest. Please be with our suffering brothers and sisters. And Lord, help us to learn from these earliest Christians and to learn from our brothers and sisters around the world about how to suffer for your sake and how to share the good news about Jesus. For we ask and pray in his name. Amen.